I'm Jill Manatic.
Hi, Jill.
So honored to be asked to speak at any event. You know, I still, like, I'm like, me? You know. And then I'll go into probably, like, self-obsession real quick after that. And do a few leads in my head. And everything sounds real good. But I never, ever know what's going to come out. Thank you to the committee for asking me to speak. It's like a huge honor. It's probably one of the biggest honors, in my opinion. So, I'm here. It was a beautiful drive. I live in Newcastle. My home group Sunday night is Everything is Everything, and it's been my home group since I moved there. And we have, like, an awesome home group. We have a lot of clean time in my home group. Newcastle is small, but the recovery is good if you want it. But I came in my clean date's 2004. I just celebrated 10 years, so that's pretty fucking cool. But anyway, so, you know, a lot of people that had that home group and the people that I came in with are drinking right now or using whatever else, you know. A lot of people that I was friends with are using still. Like, they went back out with, like, years clean. And, like, when I go to my home group, like, I'm like, thank God. Like, I almost had to change it because I wasn't making it anymore. And honestly, like, no other meeting feels like that meeting to me. And I hope I never have to change it. So thank you for asking me to speak. This is huge. I hope that, you know, it's my experience, hope, and strength, and that's what I'm going to give you. So I moved to Newcastle. I'm from Altoona, which that's why I love this area, too. I grew up in Altoona. I got clean, and I used in Altoona, and I got clean at Cove Forge. I'm not supposed to say that. But I love that place. I carry that coin around. I was, like, looking for coins, and it was either that and my tenure, and I was like, well, the one that kind of means the most to me is, like, the first one. Like, it really does. That's when my whole life changed. You know, time just keeps adding up, and I hope it continues. So, like, but that first coin is, like, really where everything started for me. So I'm from Altoona, and I didn't get to, like, give back to my family in Altoona clean because my whole recovery has been spent in Newcastle. I moved there when I had 6 months clean with my son's dad. He was from there, and we had a baby there, so my son's 8, and we share custody. So unless I want to split him summer and winter, I stay there. My son's life is good. It's secure. Do I not like Newcastle? I don't like Newcastle. But it's not about me. My son's life is, like, excellent. So I'm not going to change that because, you know, I just would want my mom to do that for me if I was him, you know. And because I didn't really feel like I got that, you know, that put first kind of thing. I didn't really feel like I got that. But that's okay. So I give it to him, and it works. And everything comes full circle that way. And I see the benefits of recovery in him. He's won the Good Citizen Award at school. He's in second grade. I can stay and talk louder, so if I'm screaming, that's why. My son's in second grade, and he just won the Good Citizens Award for the second year in a row. And, like, that means, like, he is, like, a productive member in his classroom. And that, like, blows my mind. I can't explain how proud I am of that. And, like, I don't want to take credit for it. But at the same time, I know I'm his mom, and I'm there for him. I work when I don't have him, and I have him when I set it up that way. So, like, he has time. I have time with him. And I go to meetings. I go to my home group, and, you know, I don't like to take him, but if I have to, I will. So I loved, I forget his name, first guy to share. Just made me remember, like, getting clean and how crazy it was. I used to drive the girl to Johnstown to see her boyfriend with, like, 6 months clean I had, and, like, just how crazy my thought process was compared to now. And I don't know, man. Like, I always like to think about, like, the pain of using. And the pain that I felt growing up. And it's so funny because we all felt the same way. And when I got here and you guys, like, I found that out, I was like, holy shit. Like, it ain't just me. Like, there's something seriously going on here if all of us were the same way. And we all use drugs the same way. And it is about drugs still. Like, I stay away from that shit. I don't go to bars and I don't hang out in bars. You know? I don't sell dope. I stay away from that shit because that shit ruined me. I was ruined before I picked it up, but that shit was like my way to kill myself. And that's what the disease is. I didn't want to live. I didn't know how to live. Like he said, I was incapable of telling the truth, and I was incapable of even knowing the truth about my feelings and why I felt the way I felt. And guess what? My mom didn't understand either. I'd go to her crying and crying and crying, like, I hate my life. And I'm like in fourth grade, like, hating, telling her this shit, you know? Like, they don't like me and they make fun of me and I hate them. I never had the exact nature. Never. Never. And God forbid it was, like, my fault. Like, how can you put that on a child? Like, I couldn't understand that. Like, they'd be like, Jill, why do you lie? Why are you lying? And I'm like, I don't know. It's fun. You know, it was fun to me. It was fun to make you guess or whatever. It was fun. Like, I just, and, like, I couldn't stop. And, like, it's like I lived in this, my own private little world, like, doing whatever I wanted to do. And it didn't matter you were my brother. Like, it didn't matter. I didn't even understand the concept of that, of what that really is. Like, and I still don't have a good relationship with my brother. I love him to death, but, like, I don't know that family concept. The only person that gave me that family concept was my grandmother. And I didn't know it at the time, but she's the only one that I feel like loved me unconditionally. But it's ironic because growing up, she was the only one that smacked my ass. She was the only one I was afraid of, and she was the only one that told me the truth. And I heard it over and over, over and over. I lived in a German Catholic home, over and over. Truth hurts, don't it? And I thought, like, fuck you, like, when they would say that. And now it's like, oh my God, like, the truth does hurt sometimes. And, like, it hurt me all the time because I never knew the fucking truth. I didn't know it. It would have ruined my plan had I known the truth at a young age. But see, like, things were working for me before I even knew it because I'm here now. Now, if I wasn't here now, then things hadn't worked out. But, like, now that I'm here, things have worked out the way they were intended to. I was intended to self-destruct. God gave me the disease of addiction. I was born with the shit. My thinking was screwed up. My feelings were screwed up. Everything was the disease of addiction before I picked up drugs and alcohol. And I could tell you that as soon as I went to treatment, as soon as I heard what addiction was, I identified immediately. How could you not? Lying? Okay, I get it. That's me. So then they were like, you can't drink anymore. And I was like, what? Like, really, Jill, can you see yourself, like, not drinking? And, like, I quit using opiates one time for, like, 5 days, withdrew. And this is before I went to treatment, and I withdrew for 5 days. It was hell, and I got done. I felt better, and I smoked pot and drank and said, I'll just do this. And I did that for probably a month, maybe less, and I remember having this feeling, I'm bored. And now I know what that feeling was. It's like, I got to get out of my fucking skin. Like, get me out of this world immediately, because I am cringing right now. That's what bored was to me. And I felt bored my whole life. I used to sit, can I come over? I'm bored. Can I come over? Because I got to get out of this house because I fucking hate my life. I hate my family. Nobody understands me. Can I come over there and pretend that, like, this is my life? And, like, can I stay here forever? Like, I spent not one night at a friend's house. I spent a year at a friend's house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my just gone. Like, run. Fun. Give me a feeling that feels good. Give me something that gets me out of here. Because I lived up here, dude. Like, and now the cool part is like, I can look back and see when I was living up here as a child, my imagination, my reality was not, obviously, not reality. But now, like, I view it differently. Recovery gave me a different way to look at things, and, like, I realize now, like, I have a pretty cool creative mind. As a child, I couldn't distinguish between imaginary, you know, like, my fears were real. My fears are real. Guess what? My fears aren't real. Do I have them? Oh, my God, my heart was pounding a minute ago. I'm still shaking inside. Like, I can feel it. You know, I don't like that, but, like, there's nothing wrong with this day. There's nothing wrong with my life right now. Like, the life of addiction, I don't know if anybody's ever read about Paradox, but, like, you can't, it's whatever goes up must come down. And, like, we live as addicts the ultimate paradox. There's paradox in every single situation. It's like Newton's law or whatever. What goes up must come down. Equal reaction, you know? And, like, what's so awesome about recovery is, like, the worst you felt in addiction, here's the opposite end of it. The best you could ever imagine feeling. And you get that here. Not from clothes, not from a dude. And it's not temporary. It's not temporary. Spiritual, this is a spiritual program. That's why I'm attracted to it. And that's why I stay, because that's what this is. That's why I'm here. That's why I am who I am. But I started thinking about, like, people in general, not just addicts. Every single human being is searching for something. Something. I kind of think it's love. Searching. And, like, I see people, and I'm recognizing where people are finding it. You know, he found it in his BMW. You know what I mean? Like, and you can see where people are finding it. And you can see the temporariness of it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you got a sleeve of tattoos yesterday. Okay, you found your happiness for, like, a day. You know what I mean? Like, it's constant. It's daily. So, like, daily, I got to, like, refocus on, like, what really matters here. Because I go to work and I get caught up in, like, this hairdo that I'm about to do. Or, like, I get caught up. It's just distractions all day long. And they're not all bad, but, like, I'm not freaking zen here walking through work. You know what I mean? Like, I was driving up here. I've had the best weekend this weekend. I usually work, and I've had the best weekend. And I was like, I don't really want to go back to work Monday. It's going to suck because this was so fun, and I'm going to be chasing this fun Monday when I have to go to work. And I'm going to be, like, really down. Like, I already know that. I already know how I think and how I feel. Like, I already know when it's time to go to work Monday that I'm going to be living on this high that I had this weekend and chasing it, right? So, but, like, now that I know that, I can, like, go a little bit deeper with it and apply some principles. And I was like, no, Jill, you're going to go to work and you're going to do the best you can do at work that day. You're going to connect with people. You're going to, like, you're going to do it. You're going to do this there. Like, it's everywhere. Recovery is everywhere. It's not just at a meeting. I didn't know this shit. I didn't know what was going on. I still don't know what's going on in my life. I'm just doing it. But hindsight now, like, hindsight's awesome. Hindsight's awesome. Oh, this, I've met so many people here, you know, like, and, like, I was thinking about grieving. Like, I learned how to grieve in recovery. I didn't know my dad. I've lost relationships, using. I didn't feel it. because I used. And, like, when I lost my Graham and I held her hand, like, my Graham was everything to me. And I got to hold her hand when she died. It was 2010, so it was 4 years ago. I was clean. And I walked into the room, and I'm not religious, but she was. So I walked up immediately, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, the Hail Mary and the Our Father, because that's what she would have needed to hear to get through. And I don't know if anybody else thought that, but the only reason I thought that is because I wasn't using. Because when I'm using, I don't think that way. I probably wouldn't have even been there, to be honest. I can't even imagine, have missed that moment. I can't even imagine. So I hold her hand and I pray, thinking this is what she needs. Because I'm not thinking of me, I'm thinking of her. That's recovery. So I watch her pass, and it's the most intense thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And I never have cried that hard for that long, ever. I can't even explain to you in words how hard that cry was for days. And I couldn't stop crying. And like I was driving here and I was just thinking about her and thinking about grieving and how hard that is, you know? And, like, I get it now, like, and I know, like, I get it. I learned about grieving. And, like, I drive past cemeteries, and I'm reminded, like, we're all gonna die. Like, I remind myself of that daily. I don't know about you guys, but, like, I think about that a lot. Like, this shit ain't forever. My kid ain't forever. He ain't mine. I don't own him. I was blessed to be his mother, but I don't own this child. It's God's. And believe me, when I say the word God, and I hear it a lot in here, and I've learned it in here, the word God, if it perturbs you, you're thinking too small. You're thinking too small, because the word God is infinite. It's infinite. Don't tell me who my God is. Don't. Because it's personal. Sometimes God is my sponsor. So my belief on God has evolved, as it should, in this process. If it's not evolving, you're not asking enough questions. If you're not asking questions, you're surviving. You're not living. The only way I've, like, learned anything is by screwing up. I could tell you story after story of shit I've done, and you'd be like, well, I don't know what you would be like, but I've screwed up a lot. And I get the definition, I get familiar pain and running back to it. And I get that unless I change something, I'm going to get the same results. Even if that means like it's on another level. When you get that light bulb moment in a specific situation in your life that hasn't really changed too much, like relationships, for me anyway, the overall theme in my relationships with men has not changed until this last year. And the only reason it changed is because it wasn't my will. So, that being said, now, like, you know, I do have some choices here. I can act the same way that I've always acted and, in my mind, be like, it's okay, Jill, you can do that. You can do that. I can justify anything. And, like, but, like, I don't want the same results anymore. Like, I'm done. Like, I've heard this said before, when it hurts right. Like, because, I mean, shit hurts, but, like, until it hurts right, we don't change. Period. We are some of the most strong-willed people I've ever met. Like, I don't know, it just fucking blows my mind. Like, I can't believe all the potential I had all those years, and now, but, like, my disease doesn't let me do it. It doesn't let me do it if I subscribe to it. But first you got to understand what's your disease. Because, I mean, we have the same disease, but everybody got different fingerprints from their childhood on them. So we all have different issues to address at different times in recovery. Okay? Like, I had a kid early in recovery. Some people are just now, you know, like, everybody's process is different. But, like, that's why I stay, because, like, the only way I had a child is because I knew this girl had a year clean and she had a kid. And I was like, if Kyra can do it, I can do it. She wasn't any better than me. You know what I mean? I was like, and that's called hope. And that's hope. And that's step two. Like, that got me through that. I was like, if Kara can do it, I can do it. Because who knows how to have a kid with a year clean? Like, I played house, you know? Like, you know, everything I thought I knew then, like, I knew then, and like, now it's just totally different. And, like, my son's dad relapsed a year, our son was a year, and he still keeps relapsing, and, like, his emotional state is the same as it was when I met him. Now, that blows my mind, because the behaviors that he has still, like, the fact that somebody hasn't changed in 10 years blows my mind. Like, that means he's going to die, you know, like, and never, like, I believe when I die, like, all these experiences are going to take me to where I go after I die. So, like, I want to get pretty far in this life. So, like, for my next life or whatever, like, I'm a little ahead of the game. Like, I don't got to start out down here next time, you know? Because, like, I feel like I started out down here. I feel like the lack of self-love and self-esteem that we have as in our nature is unbelievable. It's, like, unbelievable. Like, no wonder we wanted to die. But I didn't choose that. God, I could have, like, done all this shit with my life, and, like, I didn't do shit with my life. I had opportunities galore to flourish, and, like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. My mind wouldn't let me do it. So when I'm driving up now, when it, like, tells me I can't do something, like, I know that's bullshit. That's my disease. I know that. I live with the disease of addiction. And I'm okay with that, like, but I don't want to get far out of narcotics. Narcotics Anonymous is what keeps me clean, period. My opinions and my views are my own, through my own experience. And everybody has their own. But, like, it still comes down to Narcotics Anonymous, the 12 steps of recovery, traditions, principles to live by. Mm-hmm. I go to meetings, I sit down, I try not to be a distraction, because that's just messed up. Like, if somebody's sharing and you don't have respect for who's sharing, like, try. Like, try. This girl came up to me the other day. We have a Highland house. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. But, so we have a halfway house in Newcastle, and this girl comes up to me, and she's like, are you sponsoring anybody? And I was like, yeah. And she said, I said, are you in that halfway house? And she was like, oh, yeah, but it's not for me. And I went, no, and no. I went, no, like, no. Like, if she doesn't even have the willingness to come up to me and ask, she doesn't have enough willingness to work with me. I don't want to work with somebody that doesn't have any willingness. What are you going to do, send her when it's time to do, like, step in for her when it's time to do step work? Like, if there's no willingness, like, I'm not going to put my time into her. I can't. This shit's too fucking real to me. And I feel bad, but, like, it's the truth. So I sent her to go tell her. I'm like, you know, like, I wanted her to know, like, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. That's not how I got my sponsor. Go ask her to sponsor. No. No. It's all about honesty. First, you got to get honest. You have to. You have to say, I need help. Like, you have to say that first. And I think the fact that we're all here, even if you're court ordered, like, that's divine intervention. Like, so, like, be advised that, like, if somebody's doing something for you, like, be grateful for that, because, like, sometimes we can't get here on our own. And my mom, she said, like, you either need to move out and be homeless, or you need to get help. And man, she gave me $20. I said, give me $20, and then I'll go tomorrow, because I don't want to get sick. And that's the only reason I went to treatment, is because, A, I knew that I needed help, but mainly to detox. I didn't know, like, I needed help with anything else. Like, I knew I needed help quitting, like, detoxing, because, like, I already went through that on my own. I'm not doing that again, so sign me up. But give me $20. And, like, all I found that day was Darvastatin. Yeah, and then I went, and they were like, oh, the doctor doesn't come till tomorrow, so you don't get anything till tomorrow. And I was like, are you fucking I lose my mind. I'm bawling. I lose my mind. She's looking up my asshole. I never had that happen before. Like, I looked like a deer in headlights. Like, I was gray. My hair was the color of mud, because I would color it all the time high, and, like, it was the color of mud. Dirty. And so I didn't get anything. She goes, I'm going to give you Tylenol and ibuprofen. It's the same as the pain pill. And I'm like, oh, my God. But I think, like, mentally I needed to believe that to function. So, like, or it was a miracle, because I didn't feel anything. I didn't get sick. But, like, at the time, like, I couldn't afford bricks of heroin, like, people. Like, I don't know how that happened at the end of your addiction, if that happened for you. But I was not doing anything but half a bag of heroin, maybe getting well for, like, you know, like an hour. Like, I was sick every day on the couch, couldn't work, crawling across the floor, stealing money from my grandmother, who had her 20s paper clipped at that point, you know, like, cause she's like, am I losing money here? You know, and, like, I robbed her every day. She never said a thing, which didn't help. She never said a thing. And so it was awful. I was sick. That's why when I think about using, I don't think about good times at all. They were in the beginning, but that was a long time ago. Even, like, the end, when pot progressed, it was awful. You know what I mean? Like, any drug, anything that I'm using as a drug, as it progresses, gets awful, even if it's a relationship. If I'm using anything as a drug, it's probably going to get awful. If I'm not taking care of me and my spirit, and I'm using you to make me happy, which is what I do, or clothes, or whatever, I'm not going to feel any better. I'm just not. I'm just not going to feel better. It's not going to fix me. So I got clean. I had a baby. I got divorced. I had nothing. I had two cars, vacations. I didn't work. My husband was an electrician. We had money. We had friends. I never had friends. They were all in recovery, and they'd come over and play poker. Our house was, like, the place to be. Like, I was popular. I had friends. Like, I was pregnant. I had a huge rock on my finger. Like, oh my God, I'm like, I've arrived, like, I'm clean, life is awesome. So I always told Junior, I said, like, you know, the only thing that would ever, like, break us up is if one of us relapsed. And I always said that, and little did I know, like, he quit going to meetings he quit going to meetings, and I didn't, and he relapsed, and, you know, I told you a little bit about him, but, like, I just, when I got here, I thought everybody wanted the same things I wanted. And I still think that way. I still have expectations on people, for sure. I had, like, 30 days clean. I met this guy with a year clean, and he, like, spoke gospel. Like, he was, you know, hot, and, like, he was perfect. And so he's like, we're slow dancing at my first slow dance, you know, dance. You know, like, I mean, I got it at the NA dances. I got it. Any dance, I was there. I had a new outfit. Any meeting, I had a new outfit. I got in service. I did clean time. I felt a part of. It was a show. I had a new outfit. Like, that's what drove me. Like, you know, so this dude, he's like, I just come out of addiction, like, sleeping with somebody different every single night.
Oh.
Like,
scare me.
So, like, I just come out of, like, running the street and, like, abusing my body to no end. And this dude has a year clean, and he's like, he's like, you know, I like him. And he's like, you want to go to a hotel and you want to do this? And I was like, oh, no, I don't do this in recovery. You know, I was like, I'm smart. Like, I'm a smart girl. I was like, no, I did that in addiction. I'm not doing it. So he's like, well, how about we just go to a hotel and hang out? And I went, all right, I'll do that. Honest to God, like 2 minutes in there, you know, you flick the turn, you know, the porn's on, like it's on and it's happening and I'm clean and like I'm experiencing everything, sex with lights on, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? And he's going to be my boyfriend. I'm sure I'm thinking that. And And it's like real emotional for me, and then he like laid there after and like started watching TV, and I remember I was like in fetal position, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I knew I didn't like that, you know, at all, like at all, like not even a little bit. And I felt horrible. And he had a year clean, and he was fucking a newcomer. I had 30 days clean. I didn't fucking know. The other guys that were hitting on me were like old and like. And, like, I knew that, but, like, this guy, this is it. This is going to be my dude. And, like, so I'm laying there, and I feel like shit. And I knew this is bad, and I don't want this. And he ended up having a girlfriend, a baby on the way, you know, a year clean. And I thought this guy was, like, pure and, like, holy. And, like, I realized at that moment, like, and he has 10 years clean now. Like, and we're friends, and, like, he's still on a good path, but, like, it just goes to show you, like, the shit, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of still fucked up in here, for sure. And he made an amends. He bought me a workbook as an amends. And when we see each other, it's like, we know, like, it's like, that was fucked up. And, yeah, but I'm still here. You're lucky. You're fucking lucky, because I'm still here. And because his friend was like, you tried to kill her, dude. You tried to kill her. Seriously, dude. And, like, I've dated newcomers. I was like, oh, 13, you know. It's all right. I'll date a new. You know what I mean? I dated a newcomer. He ended up relapsing for 3 years, and every day was hell for me. Hell. I found Oxycontin. I was throwing Oxycontin away with, like, 5-6 years clean, thinking, what the fuck is going on? Cops. Like, nobody respected my word in NA. How could you? But I was always like, I'll never say never. And now, I would never, ever, 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 ever fuck somebody that's sick and suffering. Ever. Like that. I mean, like a newcomer. You know what I mean? Like, and for me now, a newcomer, unfortunately, means, like, fucking, like, 5 years, I think. My sponsor's like, he's a newcomer. I'm like, nah, he has, like, 2 years. She's like, I don't know. I guess that like, goes, like, you know, the longer you stay clean, you can't, like, date people. I don't know. Whatever. No, I mean, yeah, I just want to find love. And, like, this year I've been single, which is totally freaking different. And I believe I've changed. And I still have some issues that I'm working out, like with self-esteem, self-confidence, self-worth that I thought I had worked through, and I hadn't, because that fear still pops up, that I'm not good enough shit. It's still there. And it really needs to go away at this point. Like, there's no need for it anymore. There's certain defects I just don't have a need for anymore, and I'm hoping that they'll be removed. This process is amazing. Like, thank God I'm not. My life's pretty good at the moment. I'd like it to stay that way, and like I think I have a little bit of control over that. It comes down to drugs and alcohol always. There's a guy that I like right now, and I don't know why I'm fucking saying this, because it's like seems too personal to say. But the dude I like right now smokes pot. Yeah, and I just wanted to hear that. So, like, just so it, like, sinks in with me a little bit more than it probably is, because I'm probably thinking, like, it's okay, that's him. But it comes down to, like, I mean, I have a disease. that wants me dead, and like I need to look at it like that and not see it for any, like, I just need to be aware of that. Because, like, in one day, this shit could be over for me. Fucking over. Like, seriously. Like, seriously. Sitting in a room and it's there, opportunity meets desire. What the fuck? What the fuck, you know? I don't keep alcohol in my fucking fridge. That's crazy. Because I really do think, like, pot's, oh, it's natural, it's okay. Like, it's not harmful for other people, I guess, you know? But I'm justifying it. You know, I'm justifying it. And I said, like, you know, whatever. That's over here. I just needed to say it. But, so I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying not to, like, rush into anything. Be a little bit smarter. Because I did bump my head a lot. A lot. Fuck. So, I don't know. The process continues. And, I don't know, like, I don't know. I'm glad I'm here. I'm grateful for newcomers to keep it real for me. The pain keeps me aware. It keeps me grounded. The pain, even though, like, it sucks, but, like, it keeps me grounded. All I have to do is go back to that, and I don't really screw around too much. He brought up a point about fellowshipping. Like, you know, I think, like, fellowshipping did get a little confused because, like, we used to fellowship and go drink coffee and talk recovery. And, like, that doesn't happen a lot sometimes, I think. But it just seemed like when I got clean, that's what they did. And they paid for my coffee. And I hung out. I guess it was my choice. It was my choice. I knew who to hang out with and who not to hang out with. So I went with the people that actually did go drink coffee and talk about recovery. That's probably why I found it, because I was looking for it. See what I'm saying? Like, if you're looking for a good time, you're going to find that. You're going to find that. But if you're looking for recovery, you're going to find that. And thank God I was scared enough to look for it. And like, I don't know. Beautiful day. I'm not going to share too much longer. I'm Jill Manette. Thanks so much.